That's awesome. You know, you start off for the presentation being vulnerable. So, you know, you can't. And I didn't dance. I've been married to a Texan who also can't dance. And it was great. We didn't have an excuse. We just sat around and got drunk at the wedding, so that worked out okay. Nobody had to fall over. And yes, I got used to being the smartest kid in junior high school, got to high school, and had freshman algebra with a woman from East Germany who had the thickest accent I'd ever heard in my life, a little kid from Chicago. And I sat next to Michelle Robinson at the time, and I was like, what is she saying? And why is she talking about letters? I thought this was a math class. I'm so confused. But so that was good for me. Thank you for allowing me to spend the morning with you. And you know, I was saying to Carlos and Brianna earlier, you could throw a rock and hit one of our properties. And you picked one that's not one of my properties. I drove around the block twice because I couldn't figure out how to get in here. And I was so confused. So I was like, thanks for that, waking me up. And I hear something in the background, so I'm not sure if it's like J-Lo rehearsing or something. So we might get a treat or something. This is interesting to me. I have been in this role for about 6 months and interviewed for a job on the side of the road. I drove from LA to Vegas and just a short drive, and I decided to spend some quiet time in my car before the interview. Got stuck in traffic, didn't get gas, and wound up doing the interview on the side of the road. But when I heard about this opportunity, I thought, I was at Yahoo, and before I was at Yahoo, I was at the Grammys, and I started social media at the Grammys, and sort of was really involved in the early real-time television and social second screen work. So I'm really proud of what the team at the Grammys is still doing, and excited to have been a part of the Yahoo legacy that it is. We won't talk about that. But heard about this job and thought, this is really cool. You mean I can run social media for just the corporate brand? And I probably have the same expression that some of you who aren't from Vegas have had about what MGM Resorts International is. And what do you think it is? Like, do you think it's the green building down on the strip? You think it's that big green building with the lion in front? It actually isn't. I mean, that's a part of it, but it isn't. And I thought, this is such a great job. Took the job and was in the job about 2 months. My boss goes out on maternity leave. I'm working with our CXO, and she says, we're going to a meeting and we're going to talk to the COO. And I thought, there are a lot of chiefs around here. And then had that meeting. I was really nervous because it's a big company. It's like 63,000 people. And I don't usually get nervous. Like, I've spoken before Congress. I've done these things on stages around the world where people don't speak English and I'm the only English speaker in the room, native English speaker in the room. So I don't normally get nervous, but I'd heard all these stories about the COO and I was so tense and so stressed. But I thought, you know, I got the job after I ran out of gas, so it couldn't be that bad. And we got through that meeting and he was like, got it. Very, 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 very stoic guy. And then he says, be ready on Monday because we're going to go talk to the chairman. I was like, I'm sorry, what does that mean? What do you mean? He was like, yeah, we're going to talk to the chairman. So that Friday, I had Saturday and Sunday to get ready for a meeting with our chairman. And I didn't really know what that meant. You know, I'd worked with Marissa and I'd worked with like lots of record execs at the Grammys and I've testified before Congress. And I said, but I still didn't quite get what that meant. So I walk into his office, and his office is pretty much the size of this room, and because he's the chairman of a multinational hospitality, gaming, and conglomerate, so it was pretty awesome. Walk into his office, and he says to me, hi, Beverly. Nice to meet you. I've heard a lot about you. It's like, nice to meet you, too. And he holds up two ties, and he says, which one, red or blue? Is this some sort of like Rorschach test? Like Rorschach? I'm like, what's going on? And I said, red. Go with red. And he goes, great. Okay, that's the test. That's the tie I'm going to. Actually, he said, great. And then he promptly picked the blue one because the blue tie was the tie that was similar to the tie that Barack Obama had worn at Martha's Vineyard for something or another. What I didn't know at the time was that he was asking me to pick a tie to go meet the president. I still don't get this job. Like, what in the world am I doing here? So welcome to Las Vegas, and I'm going to take you on what has been my ride for the last 6 months. So strap on, strap in. I started off, like many of you, thinking that this job was going to be about working at social media for MGM Grand. That's the big green building on the corner. We all know it. It's got the hottest nightclub that is in the city. It's got Hakkasan in it. Really difficult to get into. It's got all the great celebrity DJs in it. We do everything from PBR to NASCAR in there to Mayweather Pacquiao to just great concerts. It's an amazing property. And I thought, well, that's cool. I could do that. I did the Grammys. I could do that. And then reality sunk in. Because it's not the big green building on the corner. That's just a small part of it. That's its namesake. It's all these properties. And it still doesn't quite hit home that it's 20 properties and that we're opening a new one in DC in November. We're opening another one in Boston or in Springfield, Massachusetts next year. There's one in Cotai, there's one in Macau. There's one in Michigan, there are two in Mississippi. It's a huge enterprise. And pretty much if you moved Caesars and exchanged Caesars and MGM Grand on the left side of the strip, we would own the entire west side of the strip. The entire west side of the strip, from Mandalay Bay to Circus Circus. So the job is, in fact, and what happened as a result of that meeting with the chairman that day between the red and blue tie was, not how do you run social for the corporate brand, but how do you run social for all of these? And my life hasn't been the same since. Mike. That's just a way of putting into context the size, scale, and scope of what my job is. Now, this was great, because I was like, well, there's some cool properties, and there's some cool stuff that goes on in those properties. And I thought, okay, but those properties all already had social media programs. And many of those properties had really good social media programs. And some of those properties you'd probably never have interacted with their social media programs. The first thing we did was to decide that we were all gonna rally around one thing. And so our focus is entertainment is a fundamental human need. And you'll see how that makes sense. So once we decide that that's our focus, entertainment is a fundamental human need. We entertain, engage, and inspire people every day. And you'll see how this makes sense when I ran around, like my hair was on fire, because I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, how in the world are we gonna do this? But once we had that fundamental, entertainment is a fundamental human need principle as a stake in the ground, we were able to sort of migrate from there, and I calmed down and put my hair out. Okay, yep, there you go. So all those slides before kind of gives you some context as to what properties are involved, what brands are involved. I mean, the Bellagio fountains are the 19th most Instagram place in the country. So I wasn't starting from scratch. I wasn't starting from anything. And I'm standing on this mountain of impossibility, like 41,000 rooms just here on the strip. 20-some brands. Does anybody find this 70-31 sort of interesting? Because I bet you thought we made our money from the blackjack tables you lost last night. Yeah, we do make money on that. But entertainment is a fundamental human need is important because of that 70% on the top. So 70% is non-gaming revenue. Remember what I said about the big green building on the strip? Has one of the hottest nightclubs with all the celebrity DJs? People spend a lot of money to be entertained. And Vegas is the place they come to do that, and we deliver that entertainment. But over on the right-hand side, that big bubble on the bottom, left-hand side, my side, sorry, where it says M Life members, 26 million, direct mail, 19 million, and email, 11 million, that's just an idea, the size and scope of the digital content, because M Life is actually our loyalty program, and that's just the size. Just every day we're having conversations with visitors. There's 46 million visitors to Vegas last year. And every day, we're having conversations in some digital form with folks. Content at scale. So this is just an example of kind of where and how social was gonna fit in this. So there are 20 brands, there are 25,000 plus deliverables from our creative group. We have an in-house agency that I work with. 25,000 pieces of deliverable, 14,000 graphic design pieces, 10,000 email and digital campaigns, and 11,000 plus videos. And my job was that broadcast piece was actually to turn the heat up on some of the video pieces. And so the idea was that from a social perspective, I was walking into scale on several different levels. Scale in terms of the number of customers I'm talking to, scale in terms of the amount of content that's actually already being created, scale in terms of the number of brands that are involved in this conversation. And oh, and by the way, did I mention that we run a 24/7 business in a 24/7 city? People always want something in this town. But this was really exciting for me because the comment that Bernie made is that social finally has a seat at the table in this. Because what our chairman said to me in that meeting where he asked me to choose between red and blue was actually giving social an elevated position and giving social a seat at the table. And what's really exciting about that is giving a vice president level position to social so that I have an executive leadership role, but also making sure that I was connected to all the other parts of the company, that social wasn't in this silo. So social and the content that we create for our social channels doesn't exist in isolation. Okay, so this is the leadership. So the CXO is a woman by the name of Lily. And my position, I owe it to her because it was Lily's vision. Her name is Lily Tomlevich. It was her vision that she bring this all together. My boss is actually the senior vice president of brand marketing, but I actually work with every one of those people from a guest strategy perspective. I work with the SVP to figure out like how exactly are we gonna use social to remedy guest issues. I worked at a brand position. I work there, obviously I'm part of the brand marketing group because we're telling the brand story on social and there are 20 brands. And then I work with our public relations group because we've got celebrities, athletes, world-class international events coming into the city. And so we're telling those stories. We have an international story to tell. So I'm working with public relations all the time. I work very closely with partnership marketing. So all of the brands that partner with us to do things, I work very closely with them. And they come with their own social teams as if I didn't need another group of people working with me. So if Coke is in partnership with us, I get the Coke social marketing team. And that's a large company, and that's just more scale and scope to what's happening here. And then I work with our loyalty marketing, the 26 million MLife members, and making sure that they have first dibs at all of the content and all of the offers that we have available to our guests here in Las Vegas, an important part of what I do. And then marketing technology, making sure that our teams and our systems are all talking together. So we are in the process of onboarding a SaaS solution, an enterprise solution for social. We didn't have that before because remember, they were all verticals working independently, and now we're trying to bring it all together, and you can't bring it all together without technology. And so working with our chief information security officer, working with our chief digital officer, all a part of this job. Seat at the table, but lots of responsibility. So what did we do first? First thing we did, so any presentation I ever give, or you can tell that I wrote the deck myself because I don't believe in agendas. Because you might say something that sparks something or I see a reaction on your face. So this is the closest you'll ever come. This is the closest we'll ever get to an agenda at a BevJack presentation. So I was like, I gotta give them some idea where I'm going. So that's it, that's the agenda. But the first thing we did was focus on the people. So we had people in jobs and we needed to assess the talent because when you start to talk about changing the scale and scope of how we run social and thinking about social, I mean, we were legitimately posting 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. And if you've ever been to Vegas, you know, it doesn't get started till Friday night. Like, that's when the turn up happens. And so the first thing we did was focus on the people to really do a true assessment of what people were capable of, what they were interested in. Some people were doing social at a brand, didn't really want to be social media people because the job had changed. Because think about running social for Circus Circus and then running social across the enterprise in the environment that I just described. That's a completely different job. So Some people just didn't want those jobs. Some people didn't want that invasion in their life. Some people wanted to have a different, they didn't want to always be connected or always be on. And focusing on the people helped us to identify those kinds of people. And then we have to actually go out, now that we found the people who want to be there versus the people who don't want to be there versus the people who don't really want to do this job because now that they understand what social media is, that's not what I signed up for, so deuces. Well, what we then had to do was to actually start to think about, well, where do we get talent from? And how many times have you been in an environment where somebody runs up to you and says, oh my God, I love social media. I have a Facebook page and a blog. And do you know that I Snapchat? I was one of the first people on Kick. And do you know that I had access to the LO beta? And I'm thinking, well, that's great, but you can't work on any of my brands because I think you're crazy. No, I don't say that. But talent and being able to assess the talent externally and how it's going to fit into the organization, into the environment that you're bringing people in, was a huge challenge for setting this whole thing up. And then building a team culture. So I've got like media people, I've got my creatives, I've got the brand management team in the middle, I've got the social team down here. Oh, and by the way, we just hired McCann as our agency of record. That's what my organization looks like now. That's not the organization that I pitched and got approved. It changed. And that's not even the current organization based on yesterday. It changed again. Because an organization for social, just like social is dynamic and fluid, an organization needs to be dynamic and fluid. So what I tell my team is they need to be prepared for anything, anytime, and every day. Because we just may pull the rug from under you. Because what would have happened to me had Beyonce shouted out an MGM property versus Red Lobster on a Saturday afternoon? Would I have been ready? Put me in, coach, put me in, I'm always ready. I was gonna jump off that thing, but okay. anyway, but first we listened because, you know, I am a huge, okay, so this is another thing that Bernie didn't ask me about. I'm a huge Judge Judy fan. And so I love Judge Judy. Like I recorded every day and she was like, you know, beauty fades, but smart stays forever. So I try to focus on that. And then she also says you have two ears and one mouth. So you should do twice as much listening and half as much talking. And so it's not about publishing content as much as it is about listening to what customers want to say, what customers need, understanding what our guest experience is, and making sure that we're responding to that. Comments. I worked at Yahoo. This will kill your spirit. This will set you back into an emotional, depressing, dark place. People are crazy. And just read the comments thread on any common blog. So you have to, and the team gets so personal and so invested. You've worked on a video, you've got the right listicle, you've got a cinemagraph, you're telling this great hub story, you've got a whole storytelling arc that you've got going on. And you read the first comment. And you're like, really? Is that what you got out of that? Really? So I tried to tell my team to decipher the comments. We read the comments for things that are actionable. People that are just venting, we kind of let it go. We just take a kumbaya approach and just kind of let it be. Okay, so I told you I don't have rhythm. I'm going to sway off the stage. Y'all not listening to me. But this is important because we have this one mothership brand, MGM Resorts International, and then we have these individual brands. So making sure that we are accountable to the tone, the customer base, the needs, the interest, the focus of each of those individual brands becomes incredibly important to how we do this. But why social? Well, there are lots of reasons why social was the right way to do this, because the low barriers of entry, the ability to train staff, the ability to be nimble, the ability, because you can't really crank out an email in response to something that's happening at Hakkasan in the moment. So if Jay-Z and Beyonce, I'm obsessed with Jay-Z and Beyonce right now, but mostly because of their Airbnb house, but if Jay-Z and Beyonce show up on property at an event, unexpectedly, you can't really get an email out and leverage that. I mean, you could, but it'd come 3 weeks later. And it's pretty hard to get a poster erected and a piece of collateral put up in the front lobby. And it probably couldn't get a photograph approved and on the website fast enough. So social is why, because we can be nimble. But MGM Resorts is where people come to play and where social should be in the game, in the mix. Anybody know any good jokes? I told somebody, social. So all those things my team was at. They're like out at the festivals, Rock and Rio, iHeartRadio. They're at the Latin Grammys covering things live. They're at the NHL Awards, the Players Awards. You don't need to play it. Let's sit there for a second. They were there when Blue Man Group moves from Monte Carlo to Luxor. That's a big deal. When Jabberwocky moved from Monte Carlo or Luxor to MGM Grand, I get confused. So my team has to cover all of that. So this would be in the moment because that's the stuff that our guests come to Vegas to engage in. And so that's why social. Another reason for social is the targeting. Because I think for us in this room, we don't actually believe that Facebook is a social network anymore. That day has sailed. That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed, that day has passed. That's the right one. Anyway, that time has come and gone. And so we use social in our business as a way to target, retarget, and create custom audiences that we can then advertise to directly, that we can then grow. I mean, we got 41,000 hotel rooms. That's a lot of heads and beds. There's a lot of butts and seats. We have 400 plus restaurants, bars, and nightclubs and lounges. It's a lot of stuff we've got to get filled in order to stay at that night. Did anybody notice that 92% capacity? Well, or occupancy, staying there is a big deal. And targeting becomes a real big challenge in the social arena for us. But we also need to be able to figure out who our loyalists are. There are people who just love some of our brands. Does anybody remember when that used to say The Hotel? It's now Delano, the property that's the Franklin Group from Miami. It's really cool if you haven't been there. There's a great restaurant on the top, see the plug. There's a great restaurant on the top called Rivea. I was there last week. If you follow me on Facebook, it was amazing. Food from the south of France and the southern Italy part. Really cool. Okay, that's the plug. Advocates, people who just love a particular property and they're ready to advance that property. But then employee engagement. We are the largest employer in the state of Nevada. We're the largest employer in the state, in the city of Las Vegas. We have 63,000 employees. We have more employees than I have following some of my pages on Twitter and Facebook and places. So employee engagement is a big deal to us. And then lead generation. You know, some of our properties don't have problems finding right people, but then tying lead generation back to the targeting initiative, that's a huge challenge in making sure that social delivers against that. Positioning our brands on social. So what we decided, in addition to entertainment as a fundamental human need, is that our brands had to have a position. And so we're the ultimate insider. We're the VIP. We're the people you come to when you want to have the ultimate Vegas experience. Except for if you're hosting this conference and you decided to come here. That's nice. but we also have a global voice. We're the entertainment authority. And so we take that very seriously when we're creating content and it's driving us through the station. Our tone is epic, fun-loving, world-class. I mean, we try really hard to not put ourselves in a position from a social strategy level, and the social strategist is actually the person with the hands on the keyboard. They're the person actually the voice of the brand, and there are about 10 of them for the entire enterprise. Well, there are like 14 of them for the entire enterprise, and that's the position we always take. But we as leadership are always listening. So we heard something last week on a channel from one of our brands. One of our strategists was having a good time. It was a Friday night. And we had to deal with that in real time, on Snapchat, no less. So leadership can't be unplugged. So I can't unplug because I have to be held accountable to this standard. This isn't any great big deal. people ask me all the time, like, how do you guys do this? Well, we just employ the Google model of Hygiene Hub Hero. We think about content every day. There's something to do in this town every day. And so we are committed to delivering content every day in a real environment. And we don't post between 9 to 5. We post when people are in our markets, when they're doing our things, when it's relevant, when people are making dinner reservations. That's when we're posting. That's when we're driving them to, because that has the opportunity to allow us the greatest conversion for the whole lead generation thing. Remember that part? So this is a lot of stuff. I'm tired already. It's only 10 o'clock. The wheels of justice grind slowly. No, seriously. There's a lot of stuff going on. There are a lot of moving parts at any one given moment in the space that we do. This is just, it's hanging over. My discovery, it's just discover. Little lonely why. Anyway, you guys aren't awake, and I'm so hyped up on caffeine right now. If you haven't been able to tell. But anyway, this is just how that process looks for us. And this is kind of how we use that, how we use the different platforms to do that. The one at the top, the very important one at the top where the lion is, that's our e-commerce platform. That's our channel. We use that because ultimately that's where a conversion occurs, at the .com. So whether you're at Bellagio.com or MGMGrand.com or Aria.com, that's where the conversion occurs because that's where you can book a room, buy a show ticket, make a dinner reservation. So for us, everything comes back to that, and that's why it's in there. So, you know, it's Vegas, so I got to talk about the things that are relevant to Vegas. Content mixology. This is a potential recipe for disaster. Everything that I've explained to you thus far. Potential recipe for disaster. Potential recipe for disaster. So we look to avoid this at all times. The biggest skill that I must employ at all time and teach my staff is relationship building and collaboration. So the things that I'm routinely dinged on when people are asking me to do better have actually nothing to do with how Facebook works or how Twitter works or whether or not Snapchat's the next greatest thing. It's all about, can I build relationships online and offline? And can I collaborate? And this is just kind of how it works. This is just like people always go, well, what does it look like? How does it work? How do you guys do it? And that's just kind of how we lay it out. It's no big deal. For those of you who are practitioners, you've seen that. It's just kind of how we think about the different channels and how they fit and what story we're telling and what community we're targeting. Not a big deal. As a social you guys have probably seen that a million times. This is the part that's always interesting and tricky. Because we were managing 9 to 5 and in silos, we were spending that way. So we were this giant company. Have you bought a bottle at table service recently? This giant company. We make a lot of money. But we were spending on social like we were scared. And I remember taking the stage in 2012 at Social Media Week, and someone asked me, we'd had the biggest Grammys of all times, we'd beaten the Super Bowl and the Oscars, and someone asked me, do you spend any money on social? How much money do you spend? And I was so proud to say, we're like a brown egg at Whole Foods, but it's all organic. That line went over so well. But that's not the day, the time has changed. It's kind of like what Bernie said, that time has come and gone, and that day has changed. So that's no longer possible. So we've upped our budget significantly. We're part of the other challenges is making sure that we've gotten the commitment to the money and the resources, and you must have that in your organizations so that we can leverage upfront with Twitter and Facebook, just like other media companies, make them available so that we can unlock tools and resources that help us do some of the work that we're doing better. The keys to all of this, again, whoa, I went too far. So I can say measurable by channel. One of the things that was really important and has been critical for us in this challenge, as a part of the challenge to getting this whole thing stood up, is making sure that we can measure all of this stuff. And not just measure it in social media terms, because we like to talk about clicks and video views and when did the person drop off of a video and whether there was B-roll in front of the video before they got to it and negotiating all of that. And, you know, is a like better than a share? Well, I say a share is always better than a like, and I'll fight you if you don't believe me. No, I'm just joking. So we do this because we're a data-rich company, And so the other people on the marketing technology side in my group are always challenging us to make sure that we have KPIs for everything and that we can measure it and we can drive it back to the top of that circle where the e-commerce component was, so that we're driving bookings and conversions and hotel rooms and nightclubs and reservations and all of that sort of stuff. The challenges are many, but what we say is that credibility silences noise. And so I say that to my team all the time. Credibility silences noise. So for all the haters who were hating on Red Lobster, because that's what haters do, they hate, for not responding on a Saturday to Beyonce's tweet, and her, Beyonce didn't even tweet them. She just called them out in the song went crazy. And you guys have heard about this, right? Like, come on. Y'all are like supposed to be on the cutting edge. Okay, so let's just do a sidebar real quick. I'll unwind this. On Saturday, Beyonce released the song called Formation. Thank you. And the song went crazy wild. It's like really interesting. It's got some great visuals, all that sort of stuff. In the song, she says, well, I won't tell you what she says because I shouldn't say that this early in the morning. But what she makes reference to is if good things happen, she's gonna take you to Red Lobster. Anybody who's been to Red Lobster knows that they have what? Cheddar Bay biscuits. And Beyonce's bae, she's okay, come on, anyway. So the song goes crazy on Saturday night before the Super Bowl. Beyonce performs at the Super Bowl. More craziness ensues. Brands are threatening to boycott her because of her positions in the song. And, oh wait, what? Just read last night, this morning at 4 a.m., sales at Red Lobster are up 33%. 33%. So Beyonce, if you want to shout out any of my brands, I got you, boo. I got you. Come on, bring it. We're ready. Because credibility silences noise. And this is just my version of credibility. So one of the things that we wanted to say about the social media, we call it the center of excellence, and we get in trouble for saying that. But one of the things that we say in that is that instead of having these individual circumstances where brands are tweeting in isolation, we wanted to bring the entire enterprise together. So I've got a little video to show you because we ran a campaign at the end of the year, which was the first time we had actually said, we're gonna look back at what an incredible, amazing year this has been in 2015, and we're gonna connect the experiences across our properties. And this is just an example of the kind of content that we created. And so here's the video. There you go. So you can play it without the music, don't worry about the music. But I'll tell you, while you're reading this, one of the things that I tell my team all the time is that a good piece of content should need music, should need audio. It should be able to disrupt the scroll without that. So as people are scrolling through, there should be enough interest and enough visual cues in it that will make people want to stop, because most people view content in mobile. And I think it's like 80% of Facebook content is now consumed on mobile. So most content is consumed with the audio off. So this was the first challenge to them to do that. So we don't actually even need the music. But this piece of content turned out to be an amazing revelation for us, because that piece of content, that video, created 21% of the organic engagement from our corporate handle for the entire year. Because it was interesting, appealing, it stopped the scroll. People wanted to know, because depending on where you came in that video, it was just this incredible experience. People just, you know, kind of gathered towards that. There was movement, there is sound, but as you saw, you didn't need sound. I talked right over it, and you were able to click on it. And as we went about this campaign, it just kept trending on Twitter for like long, long periods of time, like 20 hours at a time, 14 hours at a time, over multiple time periods. Now, the really bad part about this was the first time we'd ever done it, and I didn't know that you shouldn't go on vacation in the middle of a major campaign. That's a first. So I went to Brazil. And of course, I was on the phone the whole time, so I was sitting on the beach trying to drink. Like, this is good. So that's just like a little recap. Like I told you about the whole idea of like that we have to have accountability for something. everything that we do. So acquisitions, more fans, more followers, engagement, more organic engagement, driving impressions, bringing more people to the table. We bring more people to the table. We can target better. We can create more custom audiences. We can build lookalike models, and then we can sell more stuff. So don't want to be, because in the meeting that I had with a chairman, one of the things that I didn't tell you was, in addition to the red blue tie, he said, "Beverly, I want to get on this Snapchat thing." I was like, "I'm so sorry, what?" Because I was still stuck on the tie thing. He was like, "I want to get on this Snapchat thing. Can you make that happen for me?" Sure, okay. So during CES, we had this amazing experience. We worked to leverage the scale and complexity of our company to actually bring this to life. So we worked with Snapchat. Snapchat put a big poker chip with the ghost icon on the side of the building. And from that, that was just news that was all over. People were very curious about what was happening because we had 140,000 people in town. And then we took that, We took that to the next level, because what we then did was we created these custom geo filters that were sponsored by us, and one of them was from New Year's Eve, and we ran those filters for 10 days from New Year's Eve to the last day of CES. And then on the last day of CES, what we did was we had a Snapchat influencer party at one of our nightclubs. And I don't know, you bring a bunch of young people into a nightclub, you set up a bottle environment where there's a great DJ, and you tell them to snap away for 3 or 4 days. We had these amazing organic experiences that happened, and it was an opportunity for us to bring an audience that's natural and native to Snapchat to our brands. And we didn't do this at every brand. So we didn't try to do this at Bellagio. We didn't try to do this at Mandalay Bay. We did this at Luxor because it's the kind of property from that targeting perspective that makes sense. I think I gotta go faster, so I'm gonna go faster. So the power behind all of this is this thing. So we're very, very focused on collaborating. We're very focused on making sure that we are creating cross-channel communications at every turn and at every angle. And whether it's a real life experience and making that social, or a social experience and making that real life. In one of the teaser videos I showed you, did anybody notice the guy from Ireland? The Ireland dad, the Irish dad? Okay, so the reason this happened is because we were watching the Irish dad video in my office and realized that he was at the Mirage. So we saw him hanging out of the window with the GoPro film turned backwards. We realized he was at Mirage. So we work with LVCVA, which is the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, to bring him back from Ireland and do a redo with the GoPro turned the right way. So that's why we put that video in there. But that requires focus. That requires us really being in the moment and being nimble enough and open to it. And that also means that as a leader, I have to be connected to what's happening. I can't stand back and allow my 23, 24, 25-year-olds to do this. I have to be in the moment as well, because if I didn't know about Irish Dad, I never would have been able to include that in a strategy and sell it up through and then make it turn around within a week. So we had him on a plane back in a week. And that's just to say that effective social content is relevant, timely, and authentic. That's the stuff that we do with Irish Dad. That's the stuff that we do in terms of being able to turn around real-time content for all the things that are happening at our event properties, at our properties as it is event-related, as well as the kinds of things that Beyonce and Red Lobster experience. And that means just being on the, you know, I say this and I get in trouble, so I don't say it anymore. I used to say lean into the content, lean into the experiences, lean into the moment, which then will drive this. But now I say, just be prepared to stand on the front of your toes as opposed to the back of your heels. And so I think as a social media practitioner and a content strategist, you always have to be on the front of your toes, because you have to be prepared to pounce on an opportunity, because very few good opportunities come to you by sitting around waiting for people to click like. I told my team the other day that no piece of content, not that I ever say the V word, but no piece of content has ever gone viral by people liking it. It goes viral when people share it. So it means that it's in the moment, it's relevant, it's timely, and they're connected to it. So much more I could share with you if we had another, but I don't. I have to go back to work. I don't know what that video's from. You need the audio for that one, apparently. Ta-da! So what that is the new arena that's going across the street. We time-lapse everything around here because stuff is always in movement. That video was the most engaged piece of content that we posted all of last year. Bananas. People just want, because people didn't know what it was, and so if you came here, most people come to Vegas every 18 months, unless you're Carlos, then you come every other week. I just feel like giving you a hard time. But the thing that's kind of cool about that is that people wanted to know what it was, and just out of answering that question for them and giving them an idea of what was to come and what to expect was a big deal. And so if you haven't heard, we've got Garth Brooks, George Strait, The Killers, Wayne Newton, and Guns N' Roses all coming as a part of that opening week celebration in April. Pretty excited, a lot of stuff to do. So you will excuse me if I answer a few questions and go back to work, right? Thank you so much. I really do appreciate this. This was a great time. Thanks, guys. I agreed to answer questions, but
thank
I don't
you, Beverly,
know if I talked
yeah, stay
too much.
Right there. Don't okay, do any okay, dancing, okay. But stay right there. We've got about 8 or so minutes for some questions, so let's go ahead and open it up. Who's got the first question? See, the way this works is if you don't have a question, I'll start firing.
No, she's got a question right
questions.
Here.
Where?
Right
where?
In the middle.
Oh, we have to raise your hand.
Great presentation.
Thank you very much.
You mentioned in the presentation you work with lots of other social media teams, and you're coordinating with your marketing efforts. So how do you plan and keep them all aligned, I guess? Do you have like a year content calendar or a plan calendar, or how often do you guys kind of meet and strategize?
Okay, y'all can't tell anybody this, and I know there might be some Caesars people here, but let's just between us. I wish I had a year calendar. The collaboration piece is so important because there's so many other things going on. This week is Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year is huge in Las Vegas. Who knew? We have 3 separate Chinese New Year celebrations going on. And that's happening. Plus, I forgot to mention that we're also, I manage social for all of our HR initiatives. So hiring for all of our summer employees, hiring for the arena, doing all of that stuff. So we don't have a year calendar. We have several master calendars for things, and then social sort of merges those calendars together. And right now we're doing that manually, but we're onboarding a team. This is why I'm old before my time. We're merging those together manually, and then we're putting into consideration our content, our convention calendar. Because the other piece of this that you forget to take into consideration, or you don't forget, it's just an issue, is that we have a convention calendar that gets overlaid on top of all of that stuff. And any one property, I mean, we got a convention center at Mandalay Bay, a convention center at Bellagio, a convention center at Mirage, a convention center at MGM Grand, in addition to all the theaters and things. So we have the convention centers that can bring in 20 to 30,000 people, and we are messaging to those people in channel on top of it. So
they integrate with
yours? Yes, we all integrate together. Remember I told you I get in trouble for collaborating? Collaboration is the big C word. Because that's, I mean, it has to. There's so many moving parts. It's moving so fast. We're doing it manually because we're standing up the organization. And I should tell you, this is all 12 weeks old. This is 12 weeks old. This is all fresh off the presses. Like, I'd love to tell you that I've been doing this for 6 years and we got it all nailed down. We don't. Most of my bosses would like me to not talk about this kind of stuff. And so I've been turning down a lot of social media conference speaking opportunities because this is the stuff I want to talk about. But this is what happens when you're doing this as a challenge in real time with existing brands. And I got brand new brands in there because I don't know, have you heard about the park? So we're putting, our chairman loves urban planning. And so he's built this park, this quiet urban respite, this oasis in the middle of all of things Las Vegas. And so we're opening a park. So I'd love to say I had a great system, but not yet.
Other questions?
Great presentation. Thank you
Thank
so much.
You very much.
So considering how much you want to stay in the moment and the scope of work that you have to get your arms around, How do you stay in the moment and also manage and assess risk, legal issues that arise? How do you, you know, do you have an escalation plan? You know, how do you balance all that? How do you respond to that?
So I should just say that I am on the emergency security. Like, I work with our watch center, because when there is a tragedy on the Strip, and I thought people just came here to hang out. I didn't know that bad things happen to good people here. People get shot, they get stabbed, they get hit by cars. Things happen in buildings. It's just a microcosm of society. So I work very, very closely with our security watch center, and I work very closely with our corporate communications team. And so we have a weekly who's on call, but it's not uncommon that in a 10-day period, a couple times during the month, we're on a call to sort of deal with sort of an in-the-moment thing. The other thing that we do immediately, so in my org, we have optimization carved out and separate. Those are the people that pay all the ads and figure out what we're gonna put our money on. In that group, the first thing I do, when anything, I take a look at with our legal team and with our security team, what's actually happening, what the context of the issue is. So when Paris happened, we stopped all paid advertising. We turned it off immediately. When San Bernardino happened, we turned it off immediately. When the woman ran into the people on the Strip, and we work very closely, I don't want to tell too much stuff, but we work very closely with Metro here. And so when things happen, we have a communications team that keeps me in the loop to everything. And then my team works on an internal communication. It's actually an external team tool, but we work on a tool that that allows me to get to them all immediately. And so that's just a part of the gig, which is why I said the talent part at the very beginning, some people just aren't up for that. Because I've gotten calls at 3 a.m. It just goes with the job. Do you believe that they didn't give me any water? Joking.
You mentioned that email is a little bit of a slow method of communication.
I didn't say slow.
Okay, not
I said
slow.
It takes longer to put it together. You know, there are more people involved. There's wordsmithing.
So if you're always taking a stand on the front of your toes approach, how do you keep your internal team communicating and constantly, you know, up to beat on what's going on and what you're planning on doing? Do you use, like, I don't know, what kind of internal tools do you use?
That was the tool I was just saying. So my strategist use Slack to talk to each other. So they use Slack to talk to each other. We use Box on mobile to move content around very quickly. We have a lot of tissue sessions with our creative teams. I spend a lot of time, the woman who's at the office almost as long as I am, is our creative executive director. And so Ann and I spend a lot of time together. But we have at Yahoo, we had open concept. You know, so at the Grammys, I had like this big office. It was like, you know, very plush. I never talked to anyone else. At Yahoo, you know, it's a tech company, so we would breathe the same oxygen right together. Ironically, for the kind of an environment that we have here, it's a little bit of a tech sort of traditional corporate environment. So the brand team, the brand's account executives, the email marketing team, where we call it direct marketing, the direct marketing team, the creative team, we all sort of sit in this big open area. And we have lots of little rooms, we grab people, and we just spend a lot of time in meetings, and there are lots of different communications going back and forth just to make sure that we're all together. And leadership is about making sure that your team knows what's happening with the next team. I'm sure you've heard of our recent decision to begin to charge. I don't even believe I'm saying this from a stage. Because they're recording this, so I'm not gonna say it, never mind. I'll tell you about it later. But yes, we do a lot of that.
Well, we are at the 10 o'clock hour, and Beverly, I wanna say on behalf of everyone how thankful we are, how privileged we are to spend a little bit of time with you here this morning, for you to share your story of what you're doing at MGM. It's really insightful. You probably have 100 or more Slack messages and emails that are waiting for your attention, so we will let you get back to it. Thank you so much, Beverly.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you so much.